This morning on TV, before services, I had turned it on to some channel, and there was a couple of popular religious speakers and writers on TV, both talking about how the time was near, and all the signs were pointing to it. These are both of these very, very well-known religious speakers and so forth, and they were telling us that these signs were coming. It's interesting that those people in the first century didn't understand it that way, and it was written to them. We finished the first part of Revelation a couple weeks ago, Revelation 1 through 11. It's kind of the first part of this book. Revelation 12. We are introduced to a spiritual war, a war we mentioned this morning. A war that essentially started way back in the garden when Satan tried to stop God's plan for our redemption. And we went through this morning all the, many of the events that Satan thought had stopped God's plan. But then we saw how God's will was done and that the Messiah was eventually born in Bethlehem. We saw last Sunday night this struggle, this battle, this conflict between the woman and the dragon. And we talked about how the woman was introduced in Revelation chapter 12 and she was introduced as the one who gave birth to the male child. And we talked about how Christ came through the Israelite nation, through the Jewish people, and how Satan had tried to stop him from being born through the lineage of David time after time after time. But Satan lost time after time after time. And that's an important thing to remember if you're living in the first century and you're being persecuted constantly on every hand by Satan and his helpers. In this case, his helpers were the Roman government, and in particular those priests that tried to get Christians to bow down to the emperor. So to hear the message that Satan had been trying to stop God's plan for millennia but had been unable to do it, that would be very comforting to you. That's what's written. And so we have Revelation 12 written for them, and indirectly for us. But for them it meant so much. God is telling them that He has always stopped Satan's plans, and He will always stop Satan's plans. And even though they're suffering and they're being persecuted, they need to know that Satan is done. He is lost. And since the ascension, since Christ rose from the dead, all Satan has been doing is just trying to fill up hell as much as he could. He's lost, and he has no chance of winning. And he knows his ultimate end, as depicted in Revelation 20 and other places, is that place prepared for him and his angels, that lake of fire that burns with, brimstone. So that's his destination. He's already lost. He cannot win. And so that message is seen in Revelation chapter 12. We saw the first six verses last week. The introduction of the woman, the introduction of the male child, the introduction of Satan pictured as a great fiery red dragon. And how he was waiting for that male child to be born, Jesus, and he thought he was going to kill him. But he... His helper, King Herod, he would get it done, but no, an angel appeared and told Jesus' parents to go take him into Egypt. And that's how he escaped. We see the woman fleeing into the wilderness where she's a place prepared for God that she would be protected there. And the vast majority of people in our country and other countries that claim to be Christians believe that this is something that's going to happen way in the future. totally misunderstanding the fact that this happened a long, long, long time ago. And it was written for those first century Christians. And whenever we get away from trying to understand this book in any other light, we come up with something that is totally, totally false. See, throughout the religious world. So let's pick up then in Revelation chapter 12, verse 7. And war broke out in heaven. Michael and his angels fought with the dragon and his angels fought, but they did not prevail, nor was a place found for them in heaven any longer. A physical war? Definitely not. He wants us to understand that this is a spiritual conflict, so he says it's in heaven. There isn't any sort of physical anything in heaven. It's a place of spirits. It's a spiritual place. This is a spiritual war. And while that war between God and Satan has certainly been going on since the garden, what was very important for the first century Christians was to understand that God was fighting for them and that Satan was going to lose. That's what they needed to know. That's the message for those people in the first century. And, you know, in a way, it's the message, you know, for today as well, but far more for those people in the first century. So that's how it's depicted. A war broke out. Michael and his angels fighting with the dragon. Dragon and his angels fighting, but Satan loses. Satan continues to lose. No wonder we see Satan pictured as being angry. Think about how many wars and battles he's fought with God, and he's lost every single one of them. He thought he would win, then he realized he lost. Thought he would win, realized he lost. And we just looked at some of them this morning, but time after time after time, Satan, God has fought, Satan continues to lose. Here he's depicted as losing again. So what happens? So the great dragon was cast out, that serpent of old called the devil and Satan, who deceives the whole world. He was cast to the earth and his angels were cast out with him. And again, he is shown or seen in a couple of different ways. He is called the devil and he's called Satan. He is the accuser. He's the slanderer. He's the liar. Those are the words that come from the devil and Satan. That's what Satan does. Isn't that we first see him in the garden? We see him as a deceiver. He deceived Eve and ended up indirectly deceiving Adam, and thus sin was brought into the world. How? Out of deception. That's what Satan does, and he is the best at it. He's the great deceiver. And he thinks he's going to win. And we see him losing and losing and losing. So it says he deceives the whole world. Every single individual? Of course not. But that's what it looks like. And isn't that still true today? Satan has deceived most of the world. And in every generation that's been true, Satan has deceived most of the world. Those who have God, followed Christ, has always been in the very, very small mind. And so he has been successful in deceiving them. The problem is he simply can't defeat God. And that's what he's always wanted, is to defeat God. But he hasn't been able to do it. In the first century, in the second century, and then even partly into the third century, he used that imperial Roman government. And that those Roman priests, those were his cohorts, his helpers in trying to defeat God. Didn't work. But he still tried. And that's what Satan continues to do. And so he's our adversary. That's what the word Satan means. He's our enemy. And he's always been our enemy. And he'll continue to be our enemy. And he's going to continue to try and deceive people. My throat went out this morning a couple times, and it probably isn't going to last tonight either. But I don't know what that's about. So his angels were cast out with him. Let's move on to verse 10. Then I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, now salvation and strength and the kingdom of our God and the power of His Christ have come, for the accuser, there's the idea of, you know, there's the devil and Satan, that's what he does, of our brethren who accuse them before our God day and night, has been cast down. Satan lost much of his power. When Christ died and rose from the dead, Satan lost much of his power. And we see that shown here. And so this loud voice says, now salvation. And